chapter 41, Christian Help Work. This is the special work now before us. Our own human affections and sympathies are not to wane away and become extinct, but through living connection with God, our love is to deepen, our interest to become more intense, our efforts more successful in promoting the happiness of those around us. Souls about us are perishing for sympathy which is never expressed. The Lord has set before you another work, the work of extending the truth by establishing centers of interest in cities and sending workers into the highways and hedges. Many individuals might be laboring in towns and cities, visiting from house to house, becoming acquainted with families and entering into their social life, dining at their tables, entering into conversation by their firesides, dropping the precious seed of truth all along the line. As they exercise their talents, Christ will give them wisdom, and many believers will be found rejoicing in the knowledge of the truth as a result of their labors. The standard of truth may be raised by humble men and women, and the youth and even children may be a blessing to others by revealing what the truth has done for them. God will use the most feeble instruments if they are wholly submitted to Him. He can work through them to reach souls to whom the minister could not obtain access. There are the highways and byways to be searched. With your Bible in your hand, with your heart warm and glowing with the love of God, you may go out and tell others your experience. You may make known to them the truth that has impressed your heart, praying with faith that God will make your efforts successful in their salvation. Communicate light, and you will have more light to communicate. Thus you may become laborers together with God. No verbal description could reveal God to the world. Our Savior employed human faculties, for only by adopting these could He be comprehended by humanity. Only humanity could reach humanity. He lived out the character of God through the human body which God had prepared for Him. If our people would administer to other souls who need their help, they would themselves be ministered unto by the Chief Shepherd, and thousands would be rejoicing in the fold who are now wandering in the desert. Let every soul go to work to seek and to save the lost, visiting the dark places of the earth where there are no churches. In the path which the poor, the neglected, the suffering, and the sorrowing must tread, Christ walked while on earth, taking upon Him all the woes which the afflicted must bear. His home was among the poor. His family was not distinguished by learning, riches, or position. For many years he worked at his trade as a carpenter. Union with Christ means the dispensing of His blessings. The angels look upon the distressed of God's family upon the earth, and they are prepared to cooperate with the human agent in relieving oppression and suffering. They will cooperate with those who break every yoke, who bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. There is no case of need for which someone is not responsible. As long as there are hungry ones in God's world to be fed, naked ones to be clothed, souls perishing for the bread and water of salvation, every unnecessary indulgence, every overplus of capital pleads for the poor and needy. The poor and needy were objects of Christ's attention. He sought to inspire with hope the most rough and unpromising, setting before them the idea that they might become blameless and harmless, attaining such a character as would make them manifest as the children of God among a crooked and perverse generation, among whom they would shine as lights in the world. What sacrifice are we ready to make that we may find the lost pearl and place it in the hands of our Savior? The cities are teeming with iniquity. Satan suggests that it is impossible to do any good within their borders, and so they are sadly neglected. But there are lost pearls there whose value you cannot realize until you earnestly seek to find them. There might be 100 workers where there is but one, seeking diligently, prayerfully, and with an intense interest to find the pearls that are buried in the rubbish of these cities. When heavenly intelligences see those who claim to be sons and daughters of God putting forth Christ-like efforts to help the erring, manifesting a tender, sympathetic spirit for the repentant and their and the fallen, angels press close to them to bring to their remembrance the very words that will soothe and uplift the soul. Jesus has given his precious life, his personal attention to the least of God's little ones, and the angels that excel in strength encamp round about them that fear him. Then let us be on our guard and never permit one contemptuous thought to occupy the mind in regard to one of the little ones of God. We should look after the erring with solicitude and speak encouraging words to the fallen, and fear lest by some unwise action we should turn them away from the pitying Savior. There is a very large number of straying and lost sheep that have perished in the wild deserts of sin simply because no one went after them to search for them and to bring them back to the fold. Jesus uses the illustration of a lost sheep to show the need of seeking after those who have wandered from him, for the sheep, once lost, will never find its way back to the fold without help. It must be sought for, it must be carried back to the fold. We shall find the footprints of Jesus by the sickbed, by the side of suffering humanity, in the hovels of the poverty-stricken and distressed. We may walk in these footsteps, comforting the suffering, speaking words of hope and comfort to the despondent. Doing as Jesus did when he was upon earth, we shall walk in his blessed steps. When the sick and wretched applied to the Savior for help, he first relieved the poor, suffering body before he attempted to minister to the darkened mind. When the present misery of the supplicant was removed, his thoughts could better be directed into the channel of light and truth. When he sent out his disciples, he commissioned them to heal the sick as well as to preach the gospel. When he sent forth the 70, he commanded them to heal the sick and next to preach that the kingdom of God had come nigh unto them. Their physical health was to be first cared for in order that the way might be prepared for their minds to be reached by those truths which the apostles were to preach. The Savior of the world devoted more time and labor to healing the afflicted of their maladies than to preaching. His last injunction to his apostles, his representatives upon the earth, was to lay hands on the sick that they might recover. When the Master shall come, he will commend those who have visited the sick and relieved the necessities of the afflicted. There are multitudes of poor children who need care and protection. There are multitudes of aged people who are dependent upon others for the necessities of life. The Lord has not designed that these sufferers should be neglected. Let the condition of helpless little ones appeal to every mother's heart, that she may put into exercise a mother's love for homeless orphan children. Their helplessness appeals to every God-given attribute in human nature. Do we expect that those who are lost will be faultless? If you would do something to be approved of heaven, take a child who needs help, who needs forbearance and the grace of Christ. We choose associates because we think they will benefit us, but Christ sought association with those whom he could benefit. Our happiness will be proportionate to our unselfish works, prompted by divine love, for in the plan of salvation, God has appointed the law of action and reaction, making the work of beneficence in all its branches twice blessed. No one can give place in his own heart and life for the streams of God's blessing to flow to others without receiving in himself a rich reward.